Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CE Info Systems Limited earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Melissa. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of DAM Capital, we welcome you all to Q1 FY23 conference call of CE Info Systems. We have with us Mr. Rakesh Verma, co-founder and chairman of the company, Mr. Rohan Verma, CEO and executive director of the company. So without any further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Rakesh Verma for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, this is Rakesh Verma. Good afternoon to all of you. The quarter that just ended, we have demonstrated, I would say, strong results. Just to summarize them, for quarter one on year-to-year basis, revenue was up 50% to 65 crores. EBITDA was up 55% to 30 crores. EBITDA margin was at 46%. PAT was up 18% to 24 crores. And PAT margins were at 34%. The cash and cash equivalent, including the financial instruments, went up also from 356 crores to 392 crores. The effective tax rate this time used has been 28.1%, as against the previous quarter, Q1 22, was 17.3%. With these numbers, I would like Rohan to give you some more color to the performance of the company related to the business.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Rohan Verma here. I'll keep it short so that we have more time for Q&A. Performance was good on a broad-based basis. Revenue in A&M, our automotive and mobility tech sector or segment, was up 65%. And on the consumer tech and enterprise digital transformation segment was up 37%. And again, this is a function of the open order book that we are sitting on. Beginning of the year was 699 crores, up 85% from the previous year of 377 crores. So new launches, new go-lives of our OEM customers, or new fleets in private sector or public sector, embedding our IoT solutions, as well as on consumer tech companies, whether in the delivery side or logistics side, or even consumer-facing companies like footwear brands or banks, as well as enterprises such as steel manufacturers or in the government, whether national, state, or smart city or local governments. Everybody using digital transformation solutions powered by us, for example, analytics for market expansion, APIs for kind of embedding maps and location tech into their apps and enterprise systems, all workforce management. So very, very good to see different set of use cases increasingly coming up for the company. We are not static on the long term as well. We've been investing a lot in 3D metaverse maps, in our 360 degree panoramic street imagery service, which we call RealView. So all of those will also add to the future when we talk about our drone solutions or our low-code, no-code tools and APIs for digital transformation. So good balance between short term as well as long term, and the point on, we tried to explain it in the investor presentation, that the acquisition of Gtropy to strengthen our IoT business, our existing IoT business has been there historically, but the purpose of the acquisition with Gtropy was to kind of create a dedicated management, a dedicated business, which can scale and unlock the large potential in that mobility segment. So complementing our automotive OEM business, where there are 2 crore new vehicles which are produced every year, and we are getting our N-CASE solutions embedded in those vehicles, in their companion apps or in their backend clouds. The existing base of 20 crore vehicles which can benefit from our IoT and SaaS is what we are targeting with the G4P acquisition. That integration is still underway, so there is some revenue, some cost that have to be fully integrated, and hence we kind of broke out consolidated and standalone to give you a flavor. The standalone business continues to do very, very strongly. In fact, it's growing quite well. With the add-on of G4P, you know, you start seeing that also kick in, and over the course of the years, they'll contribute to EBITDA and PAT as well. So with that, I'll conclude my comments, and we can take Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. If your questions have been addressed and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Anmol Garg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for the opportunity. So just had a few questions. Firstly, wanted to get a color on the order pipeline for the quarter. So while we have highlighted the type of deals that we are winning during the quarter, but it would be great if you can state more into this. And also, in our PPT, we have highlighted that we have been winning businesses with EVs as well. So does that mean that there is an increase in the pricing within the A&M segment? This is question number one.
Okay. Order booking happens from, on one side, automotive OEMs, on other side, corporates or businesses across sectors, including from fleet or logistics companies, but also other sectors like banks, BFSI, tech companies, retail, etc. And then on the government, whether it's national, I mean central, state or local government, smart cities, etc. So we are seeing order wins across the board, and the pipeline is also quite strong. I mean, it continues to become larger and more interesting because just so many more customers, it is becoming hygiene for them to use some product or some solution which MapMyIndia already provides for their normal business. This is not a nice to have. This is now becoming kind of a hygiene as they digitally transform. So pipeline is looking strong. Our specific number we report on an annual basis. Just because it takes time for orders to fructify, we want to have a full number to give of how the year is looking. But suffice to say that quarter one has begun well on a pipeline and order booking situation as well.
Sure, thanks. And secondly, wanted to ask if we can provide any viewpoint on the margins as well, because in the previous quarter we had stated that the margins will be in the range of 34% to 43%, and this time we have exceeded the range despite the contribution from G-Droppy, which is a low margin business. So is there any change for the margin range guidance for the full year of FY23?
See, as you know, as we've talked before, the digital products and platform business, so and unique kind of in this map space, so very high contribution margins. Our PAT historically has been in that 30% to 35% range, and the EBITDA has been in that 35% to 45% range. You know, we want to maintain that that flexibility. That, of course, as revenues grow, the operating leverage is there, profitability will grow. We want to keep an eye out for what all investments we can do for the future, for the medium and long term, for the company, because that will propel next level of growth beyond what the current order book or is, or what, you know, typically we are just getting based on the current portfolio. So probably if we had to maintain in that 30 to 35% PAT and 35 to 45% EBITDA, is something that we'd like to be able to have.
Okay, sure. But Rohan, I was just wondering that if we can have a shorter range over the margin, so that would be really helpful for us.
Let me interject here. We did 46% this quarter. So I guess what we are trying to communicate is we would like to achieve on the higher end, which we already exceeded last quarter. So if you are looking at a shorter range, then look at the higher side of it rather than the lower side of it.
Sure, sure. And one last question from my end, after that I'll join in the queue. So we have talked about the Mapples business and the revenue outside of India as a big opportunity. And we have been making investments towards it. So just wanted to understand if there has been any contribution from the same in this quarter, and what kind of revenue contribution can be expected down the line for this year as well as next year. If you can give some color around it, that would be great. Thank you.
Yes, surely. Two ways we get the foreign revenue. One is for our India business from foreign customers, your large global companies like these Apples or Amazons or BMWs or Hyundais, etc. So that's one, but that's really for their India products and solutions. The other piece that we've talked about is that, look, our software and our APIs, SaaS and PaaS that we say, whether for automotive or mobility or consumer tech or enterprise digital transformation, actually is global in nature. So it can be sold to markets, for markets outside India. We've also said that, look, this is going to be a 1-3 year journey, not that we are counting on revenue being significant from that in this year itself. Towards that extent, the way our execution is happening is we have brought on board some pretty senior folks in various capacity in APAC region as well as in US as well as in Europe so that we can start exploring or reaching out to customers in those markets and also try. So that process is on. The pipeline is getting built and slowly we'll start seeing some revenues flowing in. So in this quarter one, nothing kind of substantial to report on this from a revenue point of view, but good efforts, I would say, from the pipeline point of view.
Sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gaurav Chopra from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So two questions from my side. First was on this Mapples, Real View Maps. So how do you plan to monetize these 3D maps which you guys have launched? And if you could also, could help us with some use cases which company will be looking at? And, what are the costs associated with it? Adding to that, we recently read about Google's partnership with one of the local players. Does it any way impact our ability to fully monetize the opportunities coming in this space? That is my first question.
Sure. The purpose of kind of releasing Mapples Real View or our 3D Metaverse maps, etc., is basically to look at newer, interesting kind of monetization opportunities that will come in this, for example, in the real estate sector, for example, in the VR or virtual reality or real world metaverse sector, potentially in the smart city or road infrastructure sector. So there are actually like maps. Real View is kind of the another type of map. It's a geo-reference 360 degree street imagery. Plus we are adding these additional immersive 3D landmarks. So on one side it is to give more heft to our map, that this continues to innovate beyond what others are doing. And the second is, in certain use cases or certain industries, there's more applicability for Real View. Maybe those markets are not necessarily ready today, but they will become interesting market segments or use cases in the time to come. So how we plan to monetize is very similar to how we've monetized our products so far. So whether licensing the maps or building APIs and providing that on a subscription or transaction basis, or building different types of SaaS or software solutions and charging based on usage of that is how we'll monetize. Now, as far as the launch of this Google Street View in partnership with a local company, if you look at our offering, we believe that our offering is stronger in terms of the value proposition to customers. The coverage is wider, the technology is better, there's 3D metaverse maps. So in that sense, whether for last 14, 15 years, we have competed in a world where Google exists, but we've shown the track record, and we believe we continue to show the track record of being able to build a better product, which is more flexible to meet the customer's needs as well. And again, we're the only Indian company that can do both the data collection as well as the product and platform to monetize that completely. So whereas in other cases, you are seeing this disjointed type of effort that somebody collects data and somebody has a product and platform, I'll leave altogether the different point that as per the geospatial guidelines of Government of India, it has to be seen whether that launch by the foreign companies is in compliance or not. That's not for us to make a point as MapMy India. We are an Indian company. We're allowed to do all this. So, but there is something to be thought about on that angle. So does it affect our ability to monetize to our enterprise customers? Are our enterprise customers asking us any questions? On that, answer is no so far.
Got it. And are there any significant costs which are going to come in for the service offering which we have launched? Or
I think that's the interesting thing from MapMy's perspective, that you know, homegrown technology, I mean, that's our core, building it ourselves, keeping costs most efficient, being innovative. This is how we have historically built. This is how we'll continue to build. Itself, we don't see a significant cost to us, but you know, we will keep a watch on what all is happening. And we have talked about building this four-dimensional, high-definition, information-rich digital map twin, extremely advanced granular map that can service many, many use cases, including ADAS and autonomy. All on the in the government side, a lot of investment is potentially going to happen on the digital infrastructure, which might require high-definition 3D or high-definition maps. So we are keeping an eye out. We will align our investments towards the market opportunities that are coming up, but surely we'll probably be the most cost-efficient and also the most technologically savvy player in this space in India.
Got it. My second question was with respect to just a clarification. You know, in our maps and data segment, we have seen some, I think, muted growth for the quarter on a year-on-year basis. So is it something to do with milestone-based revenue build-up, or, you know, hence can be lumpy and we'll see stronger growth on a full-year basis, or how should we read about?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the question exactly. If you don't mind repeating it.
Sure. I was referring to your disclosure with respect to revenue segmentation into maps and data, which I think you...
Now, I understand the question. You were talking about map and data growth versus the platform and IoT growth, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have explained this in the past also before, that map and data is driven by contracts, especially on C&E, some on automotive. So sometimes there can be milestone-based kind of revenue. So you will see some lumpiness in terms of that. So really the numbers, I mean, in our type of business, it's an annual number that makes sense because of some of these licensing, which happens on an annual basis. But yeah.
Got it. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vishnu KG from Singular Capital. Please go ahead.
So you had mentioned about the after-sales market in your presentation. So just wanted to understand what exactly is the value proposition over here And could you throw some light on the revenue and business model opportunity? What is the kind of revenue and business model over here?
Okay, sure. Yeah, see, the aftermarket opportunity that we explained, the mobility part of our A&M business, is basically, look, there are about 20 crore odd vehicles on the road, four-wheelers, two-wheelers, commercial vehicles. Many of them are involved in fleet operations, let's say for logistics movement, you know, whether long haul or last mile, as well as for taxi or passenger transport like your, you know, taxis or buses, etc. Our solutions are twofold. One is it is IoT-led. So we, ours, and when I say ours now, I include Gtropy, the company that we acquired. It is IoT-led, meaning GPS trackers, now dash cameras, as well as for the consumer market, at least there's infotainment systems, AVNs, audio-video navigation systems. So this different range of types of IoT products which serve different use cases. So whether to monitor the live location or historical movement of fleets, that can help them kind of see also fuel consumption, which they can optimize the movement of to reduce their logistics movement, bring in logistics efficiency in the operations of these fleets. Our software, our SaaS, basically addresses these types of needs of truckers, transporters, or logistics organizations, whether they are pure play logistics companies or they're the logistics divisions or transport divisions of large enterprises. So for example, I mean, just to give few flavor, in this quarter itself, one of the large state road transport corporations in South India, they went live with our IoT and SaaS, where the public buses, public transport buses, are tracked using MapIndia Gtropy, as well as the citizens are getting an app where they can see, you know, if they have to go from point A to point B, then, you know, which bus stop to go to and which bus stop to get off, how far the bus is right now from them. That is one case. But on the other side, with a logistics company, they can see whether the truck has deviated from the route they should take, you know, how far they are from the destination. Is there a delay so that they can accordingly set the activities of the loading, unloading staff at the warehouse. So our software orchestrates all that, and we provide IoT devices for the same. And so that's the large kind of opportunity when you look at 20 crore kind of vehicles. Of course, you know, not that all of them will be there, our customers today, but a lot of them are now looking to digitize, because using technology they can become more efficient, and that's our play there.
Sure, I will come back in the queue.
Okay, thank you, sir. We have the next question from the line of Shrishti Jain from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had one question on the fact that, you know, what are the key line items that you know, make up other expenses, because that has been fluctuating over the last 3-4 quarters. So as a percentage of sales, that keeps on, you know, fluctuating. There's a bit of volatility. Can you help me understand what are the key components that form this, and also what the sustainable levels are?
Yeah, if you're looking at the other expenses, then in the Q1 23, you find it something like 11.46 crore as against Q4 of 21-22, the previous quarter, of 15.58 crore. So it has come down. So now, what constitutes the major number where the differences might be happening? One is the legal and professional fee, which came down this quarter to 1.71 crore from 3.61 crore. So that's a reduction in that cost. Provision against bad inventory also came down to 0.86 crore from 1.36. And I think communication expenses, which includes cloud hosting, came down to 1.74 from 2.08. advertisement came down to 1.57 from 3.87. So if you look at these expenses may vary quarter to quarter, because if we put in more, advertise more, there will be more advertisement expenses like that.
Sure, sir, I understand that. But do we have like a range in mind that we, you know, budgeted out for the quarter, or how does it work?
Well,
I just want to understand the sustainable levels of this. Like, is 20% to sales sustainable?
The only item that can vary beyond the normal range is the advertisement. The rest of the items will probably stay within what you are saying, 15-20%.
Sure, sir. So my second question is that the 700 order book, rupees 700 crore order book that we have, does it include Geotropy orders as well?
No. Geotropy didn't have this history of order book, because in that case, actually, at least that 699 did not have any Geotropy order book.
Sure, sir. So I have this last question on that, the new orders that we took in last year in FY22, about 530 crores. How many of those are from, not from our 35, you know, top customers? Like, other than the, as a percentage, if you could, you know, help me understand that.
Large percentage in the sense that we have a lot of customers, a lot of active customers. So how much percentage comes outside of the 35 customers for this Q1? I don't have that number on hand right now. So I can't give you a specific answer on that. Maybe we can come back with that answer.
Yes, not on Q1, on the like the full financial year FY22. If that's also all right, and whenever you can come back.
Okay.
That's it for my end. Yeah. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I just want to know about this large order book in place. What is the execution timeline, for this entire order book? If you could just give me a ballpark number.
Yeah. See, the track record is about 3 to 4 years for order book to revenue conversion.
Okay, fine. And
over a
so,
on average.
Okay. And this doesn't constitute revenue that we would generate from Geotropy, right?
No, the number that we closed with FY22, that 699, didn't include anything of Geotropy.
Okay, fair enough. So can you fairly say that that way we can have a FY23 guidance from your side, as in 250 crores, or what would be the revenue possible in this financial year, if you can guide us?
We don't give any specific guidance, but I guess a little bit can be seen from the track record.
If you saw the Q1 last year, Q1 22, and then you look at Q2 22, you saw an increase from Q1 to Q2. And you saw the opening order of 22, and now you see the opening order of 23. I mean, based on all these facts, one can draw some conclusion, since we are not officially giving any number guideline, but we are giving you a color.
Right. I got it. Thank you, sir. I got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks a lot for taking my question. Two questions. First of all, given the news flow around US businesses, where it is said that they are tightening their finances, so far with your discussion, have you seen any impact?
You mean from the US Fed, Fed, their talk around interest rates?
No, new age businesses, maybe your clients or potential clients, in terms of what kind of visibility that is coming from, any impact on your business?
The new age businesses.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Actually, you know, the we get paid from new age businesses based on growth of their usage, you know, and their business. So in general, I mean, it's actually quite bullish because all these new age companies are doing quite well from the point of view of their app usage or their transactions, their revenue. So in that sense, it's good, good sign for us. And we are trying to continuously explore new and new use cases with these new age companies where more they can use MapMyIndia, and so we're happy about the situation there. There are upsell opportunities, and that's what we are exploring. And then organically, also their own business is growing. So.
Okay, okay. Just a bookkeeping question: how should we see the tax rate from going ahead? I mean, are you still on the old tax structure or move to the new tax structure? Because you're already your tax rate, effective tax rate has been around 28 to 30%. Some guidance in that.
The effective tax rate, we all know the tax rate is 25%, and then you add the surcharge, it makes it 26.5% or something like that. And then now there are certain expenses like CSR as an example. And there are some other items also which get disallowed from tax by the income tax department. So 28.5% what we have taken as, I think we have taken 28.5, is a pretty reasonable percentage of what the reality is.
Okay,
the last year 17.3% was last year's quarter, but if you look at the entire last year, it was 25.7%.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from GSAM. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to know that the integration of Gtropy acquisition, the revenues over there, would they be largely coming into the CNE segment, or would they be split between A&M as well as CNE?
They will primarily come under A&M, Ashish. I mean, most of their customers historically have been in the logistics sector, so we call that as part of our mobility or aftermarket. So it will fall under A&M.
Okay, so would it be fair to assume that the entire 8 crores would be largely accruing to the A&M and very marginal or if anything to CNE?
Yeah, that's right. So 8 crores is, you know, the 8 crore was their standalone number from a revenue point of view, but about 5 odd crores was through MapMyIndia standalone, CINFO standalone. So,
I think let's put it this way, their entire 8 crores are MapMyIndia standalone when consolidated. Most of them, almost majority of them went to A&M.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, one more question. On the NewGati tech acquisition, can you please talk more about it? It appears to be very small, and you are taking acquisition of around, you are taking stake around 3%. So how does it fit in, and what kind of technology benefit basically you are talking about on SaaS side?
Sure. Thanks, Nitin, for the question. NowGati is actually in the, they have a video analytics product. They have multiple products but focused on the oil and gas sector.
Yes.
And there they have a video analytics SaaS product which kind of monitors the congestion or wait time or traffic at the fuel station, which is something very important or valuable to both the fuel company, potentially also to consumers, where the fuel company can see what type of utilization, what type of efficiencies or inefficiencies are there at fuel stations, get that as analytics, and consumers, you know, you can see whether a CNG pump right now is just very, very occupied, and hence which CNG pump to go to in future. So, I mean, one is, of course, the you know, the synergies that we saw. One of the reasons why we did this is a lot of interesting joint go-to-market in oil and gas sector. That can be a very large sector from, again, a digital transformation point of view, where a lot of our products are used. For example, oil and gas companies, like any retailer, can use MapRenew to figure out where to set up new petrol pumps or new gas stations or new EV charge stations. And since they had something very specific for oil and gas, we felt that, you know, they can monitor once the petrol pump or gas station is running, then, you know, what kind of efficiencies are there. So monitoring that. So we thought there's some interesting kind of synergies there for us to go deeper into one such segment, oil and gas. There are so many segments of interest to us. But also their product was interesting. There is potentially, not saying it's going to happen, but potentially horizontal applications of their technology, which we can leverage for, let's say, other customers, or increase our portfolio of offerings, etc. So that was the thought behind it.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Deep Gandhi from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, so I was mentioning that globally, Google has also been trying to penetrate towards the auto market side. So they have been launching, they have already, I think, launched this Android Auto operating system. I was reading that a lot of auto companies like GM, Volvo, Fiat, etc. have already signed some deals with them. So if they also try to maybe penetrate into India, so how you are trying to, you know, counter this risk? Because auto currently is a significant portion of your revenue.
Yes, see, there's two parts to this. Actually, if you ask the OEMs, they don't want to go down this handset manufacturing route where they outsource all the technology in the cars to these big tech companies. So while they will provide compatibility for mobile phones with the cars, they are not stopping the technology, the native technology experience that they offer to their customers. And that's what, you know, the big trend case, connected, autonomous, shared, and electric, is the technology these OEMs are adopting. And so with MapRenew's N-case offering, navigation-enabled, connected, ADAS, shared, and electric, that is what they have been pitching for the last couple of years, which has helped us go beyond just plain vanilla maps for navigation. So, for example, we are doing a lot of things on ADAS, which means that, you know, the driver can get alerted, you know, using our app, using our maps, using our technology, that up ahead this is a speed camera, up ahead this is a speed breaker, your current road on which you are driving, the speed limit is this, and you are over speeding or something like that. Now, when deeply integrated into the car, this can lead to what is called ISA, Intelligent Speed Assist, which is another kind of feature that OEMs want to bring in, where the car can automatically get the information using MapMyIndia that the current road speed limit was this, but the driver is driving at this speed, so car can automatically kind of press the brake or, you know, give a native warning to the user. So there's a lot of things that we are doing on N-case, a deeper integration into the OEM. So there's multiple reasons why they embed our maps in their cars, in their companion apps, and in the cloud. So in that sense, you can think of us as an automotive technology provider, not just an app that gets projected or an outside ecosystem. Although on that also, I must say that the Mapples app that we have is also compatible with Android Auto and CarPlay now. So users can actually use the Mapples app and compare the experience versus the default Maps app. And in many cases, they are saying they are able to appreciate the benefits of MapRenew's maps being house address level detail or giving these kinds of safety alerts, speed breaker, camera, and speed limits, and other features like this real view. So people are seeing even on an app-to-app consumer business, which is not our core, but even there they are seeing our consumer product is better. And then OEMs, because they're integrating and offering that technology native to their consumers, they are getting that benefit.
Okay, sir. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Chris Portfolio Management Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to understand, sorry if I'm, the question is very basic, wanted to understand on the customer switching cost. Like following on to the earlier participant's question, say, for example, we are already serving to the top OEMs and Google, with the help of a domestic guy, gets on to probably something that we already have, the data, and it also starts offering similar services. How easy probably it is for one customer to switch to, say, the new, our competitor? And what is usually the exit rate in this industry? Like, is it the 100% renewal rate or 95% renewal rate that we see at the end of the year? Or on what basis do the clients leave us? Like, just wanted to understand a few parts around that.
See, at least in the automotive front, these integrations are quite deep. So it's not that easy for anybody to switch out because there are multiple points of integration. Like I said, in the car, in the companion app, in the backend cloud systems. And as I answered the question previously also, the Google solution that they have launched is not really something that is very meaningful for automotive. It might be meaningful or interesting from a consumer point of view, but not for automotive or enterprise per se. So that's kind of on that front. Our approach on retention of customers, and we have a track record of very, very strong retention numbers. You've seen it in the RHP, DRHP that we had released last year also, is basically we keep enhancing our products and services. And so we keep building towards what our customers need for their, for their next generation. We're very much customer-focused, customer-aligned. In that sense, we go along with our customers. So we see pretty strong retention numbers.
Understood, sir. Understood. You may probably have answered in the earlier conference, but wanted to understand in the vehicle OEMs, how does the billing work? I assume it is per vehicle sold, and also probably yearly basis we receive something from them. Like, is my understanding right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best, and thanks again.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sharom Kapoor from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on your great set of numbers. I just had two questions and they're kind of related. From a high level view, what do you see as, the two or three key headwinds that could disrupt your business going forward, that could meaningfully reduce growth? Is it, a competition perspective? Is it more internal and keeping tech updated? Is it any regulatory issues? So what do you see as, key risks to the business?
See, our biggest risk for us as a company is if we stop innovating, that's really if we stop innovating, we don't keep coming out with newer products or enhancements on our existing products. That will not hold us in good stead. And the other is if we, stop engaging actively with our customers, that will also hold us, in bad stead. So we've built up a pretty strong leadership position. And, building such quality and comprehensiveness of a map data product and this technology platform, which covers multiple areas. In automotive, we talk about NKS. This is not a small area. In mobility, we talk about logistics SaaS or transportation SaaS, IoT devices. Again, these are quite comprehensive offerings. And then when you look at the digital transformation, we cover everything from analytics and strategic planning to operations, optimization, field workforce management, And then we talk for apps, we provide these APIs or widgets which are either low code or no code. You know, these are pretty comprehensive offerings. We don't know of any other company that has this breadth of offering. With this unique kind of map asset, where we are doing a lot of innovation as well. So, anyhow.
I'll add something to this. There must be, I don't have the exact number, but there must be at least 100 plus small organizations who might be offering some of the things that we do. So what I'm trying to convey to you is the complex platform and product that we have built on top of the map data that we own is something that the organizations are able to get it from under one umbrella.
In a ready-to-use manner.
In a ready-to-use manner, that makes a big difference. And that's from a business perspective, from a customer's perspective, that's one big differentiating factor.
Got it. No, thanks. I really appreciate that, the detailed answer on that. And just if I related that, the first thing you said was that, stopping to innovate as a business might, not put you in a good position. So does that mean that your R&D costs will continue to remain, will you continue to have a significant investment in R&D, in the coming future? And do you ever see that normalizing to a low rate, or will there always be continuous investment in R&D?
Okay, let me give you some answer to this with some examples. Like, we launched our RealView, Mapple's RealView, just a few weeks back. Now the entire data that was collected was over a period of some time, and they were all expensed out. So that was part of the R&D expense that we did. So, like that, the expenses will continue. So we are used to those expenses, and when we invest or spend, what we get, make it cost efficient is we are able to leverage on some data collection in multiple ways. And it's not just that I collected this data and licensed it to somebody else, and that's it. And it's the cost. It doesn't work like that. And these are the kinds of process that we have developed in the company, and we have expanded our horizon.
Got it. Thanks. I really appreciate the answers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I see the growth momentum is pretty strong. Continuing to, in terms of what the last speakers, a couple of speakers back asked, in terms of the growth momentum, do you see any risk or any large investment that we might want to make? The reason where I'm coming from is that we already are sitting on a 300 crores kind of a cash balance. So what is the thought process around using that cash balance? Are we... do you think that we will need that as a buffer, or?
The cash balance that a company keeps is for making sure that any opportunity that comes up, see the small opportunity like we picked up the Naugati, that may not be worthwhile talking from a cash perspective. But we definitely want to make sure that we don't fall short of cash whenever any opportunity comes up. Opportunity could be in terms of acquisition. Opportunity could be in terms of making our own investment. Investment could be in terms of R&D, something very big, or it could be even in terms of brand re-energizing the brand. So, I don't think the amount of money that we have created or generated, while it definitely is not a small amount, but we would like to preserve it for the growth of the company.
Sure. And in terms of any large opportunity gap that you are seeing, do you see any large opportunity gap that we have from a market perspective?
I mean, there are always multiple opportunities that we are evaluating in different spaces. I think we generally had talked about in the RHP, DRHP, that there are different spaces in India, internationally, both, that we will look at different segments, whether on enterprise or consumer. I mean, nothing that we are doing, nothing to say today, but we keep kind of looking at opportunities, and these are opportunities that can further enhance the growth of the company in the future. So there are multiple opportunities where we can go, but we are careful about which ones to kind of look at.
Sure. And last question, in terms of the launch of Mapples, do you see yourselves kind of pushing aggressively on the pure B2C platform like a Google Maps kind of an offering, which is where the revenue profile is advertisement linked rather than an enterprise linked?
With Mapples app, actually we have another revenue stream also of selling gadgets with subscription services. So with Mapples app, what you also get, which the other Google Maps app type stuff doesn't give, is you can install our gadget in your car or two-wheeler and start monitoring it and its health, whether the engine is working well, etc. And you pay us a subscription service for that. You pay us for the gadget upfront. So there is a business model already for the app. Right now, the focus has been, especially in the last few quarters, which is growing the distribution of our gadgets through retail and auto OE dealerships. We will look at doing more on the consumer app from both the perspective of brand, technology showcase, but also this gadget-led revenue. Nothing so much on the ad business model right now.
So you are not thinking of pivoting it to a free app where your revenues are driven by the app usage, i.e. the advertisement?
So the Mapples app is free to use. It is not a free.
I know it's a free to you, but you are not looking at putting in ads to kind of monetize that as in when.
As of now, no.
Okay. Okay. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anmol Garg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, sir, for the opportunity again. So just wanted to ask a question on the working capital side. Now that we are planning to increase the government business and also that we have acquired Gtropy, which deal with the logistics players as their customers. So do you think that these two reasons or these two type of customers can increase our working capital requirement in the business? And second to that, what can be the government business that can we expect in this year for the complete consolidated entity?
The government revenue, last year we talked about was 5%. This year definitely we are gradually building up the order booking in the government because there are lots of opportunities. But we are careful about being a platform and a product player on a SaaS model, that we also closely work with the systems integrators. So the pressure on the working capital from that doesn't come too much. Maybe a little bit, but not much. To answer your question on the other one about the Gtropy, yes, there might be some investments we'll require to support the Gtropy from the gadget side of it, because that leads to generating the business, which leads to the SaaS part of the business. But I don't think it is going to be any alarming number or anything like that.
Okay, sure, sir. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vineet, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, my India having LiDAR services. Hello?
Sir, I believe the participant is unable to hear us. That was the last question. Would you like to make any closing comments, management?
No, just wanted to say thanks to everybody for spending the time asking us the questions. We were pretty happy with how the quarter went. It's going in line with kind of what our efforts have been over the last few years, and we remain kind of committed to working hard, building products and engaging with our customers. And yeah, look forward to connecting after the quarter.
Thank you all for joining the earnings call.
Thank you, members of the management, and thank you, Mr. Garg. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.